Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning to you on this very last day of September.
Indeed it is, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we might need to play the September song.
What is the September song?
The Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay.
You'll recognize it. You go, oh, yeah, because you only can play it, you know, in September.
Well, I mean, of course.
Yeah, I've been doing that this past week. Oh, I'm Lynette. Hi there. Dr. Mixon will join us soon. Dr. Umat in the studio today.
Yay.
And we were recorded last week. All the doctors gone. I was out on a cruise. It was like, okay. But lots of good information in some of our favorite phone calls. We always like to do that.
That's right.
Yeah, give you new information.
And well, we recorded snippets.
Yes.
Before we left.
I love that. And this week has been such a busy week. We have our brand new opening of our Kirkland Clinic.
Yes. So, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So excited about this.
Truly, truly, I'm excited. So I discovered something. I told my husband that I was going shopping yesterday.
Ooh.
Guess what I need?
What did you need?
New shoes.
New shoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The old office was smaller and was carpeted. This office has wood on the hallways.
Floor.
And my office is way at one end of the office. And literally, I could wave to people.
Hello!
Or I'll have to have some type of an intercom system.
Okay, yes, a little
but
different.
But right now, I'm enjoying the walk. But man, my feet hurt. Those heels will not work.
Not going to work.
Nope. So this weekend, I have a shopping trip in mind. I need a little bit of a new wardrobe for footwear, at least.
Okay, for footwear, for sure, to be comfortable. Okay, so what?
I mean, I told
what does
team,
the doctor
it was
recommend?
Funny, I was telling the team. I mean, I could take them off and take my shoes off and put on slippers, but
yeah, but you know, the bunny slippers with Dr. Umat, that might not work.
I don't think that'll look very aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, whoops. Okay, so what kind of shoes are you looking for? Because we're
definitely
all listening.
Without heels.
Without heels and
yes.
comfortable. With a
That's
nice
right.
okay because
so
be
see
on your feet.
The team can wear sneakers right because they're
yes.
wearing scrubs. I can't wear sneakers. Well, I
no.
should probably start wearing sneakers. I guess they are comfortable, but anything that's comfortable that'll allow me to walk more because it's fun to walk back and forth rather
yes.
than just sit in your office.
Keeps you busy.
It's great. I love it. The new office is awesome. It's just not complete. I think
okay.
it'll still be a while before it's completed.
Okay.
And I think what I miss the most, I guess, is you know you want that impression as you walk in and the front desks are not done yet.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of a little bit of a bummer, but when it will be done, it'll be great. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wonderful.
Right now, the front desk team is working out of temporary stations and only half the team can sit there because the other half is not done. But it's still the same team. I love the team.
Oh.
A big shout out to the Kirkland team. They
Woo-hoo!
Are absolutely amazing.
Yes,
bunch of
they
young
are.
Kids. And I call them all young kids because they're all younger than me.
Me too. And they're wonderful. When you walk in, they just embrace you. You feel so good. And that was at the old, our old studio. And now we have the brand new Bella Medica Longevity Studio.
It's incredible. Oh. A long, long hallway with medicine on one side and aesthetics on the other side.
Wonderful.
I'm on the aesthetic sides, but I do a lot of the medical part. And it's trapped in the middle between the lasers and the facial rooms. And we're kind of struggling with that a little bit. We did aesthetic treatments in the aesthetic side yesterday for hair, but also Viashore treatments for men are going
oh, yes.
on in that because the rooms are nice and big and they're private and towards the end of the office. So we've been using that for Viashore treatments and as well as for hair and scalp treatments that
Wonderful.
I did yesterday. I mean, I had a great day yesterday.
Yes.
I met amazing people. And yesterday was my first day seeing patients in person at the office.
Oh, good.
But till Thursday, I was just doing phone calls. And then Friday, I finally saw aesthetic patients. And it was really nice to see people, talk to them, show them the new space. It's not set up right now.
Not yet.
The cabinets are not in.
But still functioning.
It's functioning. We're all working. We're all in there. We're all
there
doing our thing.
Yes.
And IV therapies are going on. We did IV multivitamin therapy. We did exosome therapy. We did scalp treatments. Viashore treatments are going on. So multi-purpose, the purpose of the clinic that we wanted this more space for, we're functional.
Yes. Okay. And every week it'll just get better and better and better.
Yes.
Like with any new business opening up. It's like,
Absolutely.
Enjoy seeing
right
the
now
changes.
Everybody's in temporary offices and it's like, okay, you know, temporary desks and stuff. My room is looking good.
Good.
And the electronics are functioning. So it's really nice to be able to talk to people and to do their lab reviews. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's offices, all of them are working. And they're enjoying seeing patients in the new space. And we're kind of figuring out what room is going to do what.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah. Well, you probably have to be there for a few days, few weeks to realize, oh, we might need to move this one here and this one here.
Yeah. I mean, some things are static, like the ME area for people who've already been in. They'll understand what I say when I talk about the blood draw area. There are three stations. There's a fourth station that we are not able to use for that purpose because the fridge in there is just so noisy. And so, you know, you find out things as you go. I want to Center Island for the MAs, which we didn't have on the plans because I didn't think we'd need it. Now we need it.
Oh, now you need it. Okay.
Yeah, the refrigerator in the MA area needs to go in a certain place. So there are lots of things that are small little things that are not complete. And therefore, things can't go in their place until they are completed.
Okay. And that's happening. It's happening. Yeah. Just a little slow.
It's just very exciting, though.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Now, how much bigger is this than our other area?
Oh, my gosh.
It's huge. Oh, yeah. Cannot wait.
So it's all of this space at corporate offices, right? It's huge. We have six aesthetic rooms. We have three laser rooms and three facial and aesthetic treatment rooms.
Okay. And this is for Bella Medica.
As opposed to longevity.
Wonderful.
So, you know, we expanded that quite a bit. The rooms are much, much larger. And then the girls have a separate room for their workstation, which is incredible. And the MAs have a huge central area to work out of, but they have three draw stations, and then now they're using an aesthetic room currently for PRPs.
Wow,
okay. So for people who are coming in for PRP treatments, they're going in the back room. And there's just a lot of space for them to perform their functions. The laser rooms are in the middle of the offices, and they're dark, so that was designed by purpose so that there would be no windows in that room because those rooms heat up anyways and you don't want any light or any windows in those rooms. But they're nice and big rooms and they're kind of becoming functional. So the lasers are all in there right now and they're all working. And the master aestheticians have enough space so that we're not struggling with scheduling and room availability anymore, which is huge because we can literally choose any room.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, that's and so different. And what we're talking about, if you just joined us, is the new Kirkland Longevity and Bella Medica together.
Correct.
Wonderful facility, which is really just 5 minutes away from our other facility.
5 minutes away.
Just much bigger and more able to handle everybody and
light,
more people.
A lot of space. There's literally an echo in there.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I want to go and echo.
I haven't seen it yet. Put stuff up so that it doesn't look so huge. It's amazing. I love it.
Very good.
I'm looking forward to decorating it
to,
you know, make it personal for all the team and then for the patients to come in to be able to relate to things. So it's been exciting transition and they've worked really hard all last weekend to make it functional for Monday and Tuesday. And we had to delay and cancel a few patients. So my apologies for that. I hope you'll understand. It was just we were not able to get in and get going and be ready. But as every day goes by, we're getting there.
All right.
And so, you know, we're still working on a slightly lighter schedule just to make sure that we take care of you. But we're trying to do our best and getting there every single day.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, we're talking with Dr. Umat today. Dr. Mixon will join us a little bit later on in the show. But this is Leading Edge Medicine. And I'm going to give you the phone number to call because I thought, Dr. Umat, since it's just us girls right now, maybe we could focus on some issues that women face, women's health, of those things. I was on a cruise, just a short cruise last weekend while the doctors were out of town and talking with some friends and discussing some women's health concerns. Let's dive in. I'm going to give you a phone number, though. 1-800-465-8770 is the number. 800-465-8770. If you have a question, specifically just in this first part of the show about women's health, Dr. Mixon will be here in just a little bit. But I thought, hey, let's take advantage of this and talk about some of the things we as women face as we get older. Of course, there's the wrinkles. I found out I had really good collagen in my face on the crew. I'm like, yes.
Did you find out? I did.
Well, I had this most amazing massage, and she did my face too. And she says, okay, well, we got to work around those little eye wrinkles. And, you know, we got into such a great conversation about different things. And I know that's what Bella Medica focuses on, the beautiful aspect of for women as we age. Yeah. But longevity is focusing on things like the hormones, how we don't feel as good, fatigue. Oh, and do we even want to talk about the bladder issues as we're getting older?
Yeah.
Wow. What's up with that?
You know, it's one body, and a lot of times symptoms are related to one issue. We always try to see if there's one diagnosis for the multiple issues. I think in our podcast for recording for last week, Jerry pointed out that a declination of thyroid, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone all can present with common symptoms like depression, hair loss, loss of memory, and they can be perceived as, oh, this patient is sad and therefore needs an antidepressant, whereas all that is happening to her is the menopausal symptoms. So classic case yesterday, I saw a patient for hair treatment for hair loss, and she's 52 years old, and she talked to me about stress and sleep impairment, and that was contributing to her hair loss. And so, you know, I talked to her about, you know, what's your thyroid like? And as far as she knows, it's okay, but she hasn't had it checked in a while.
Oh, okay.
And so at 52, you know, the big magic number, average age for menopause in the United States is 52 years.
Okay.
And so at 52 years, you are not only going to notice symptoms related to menopausal issues, which is declination of hormones, but they're going to be accelerated. And what happens is the risk of chronic diseases rises as these hormones are being depleted. So their function is going away. What you took for granted all of these years, with estrogen being important for skin, for bone, for brain, for your thinking, and now estrogen is going away. With that, progesterone, which allays anxiety, helps you sleep, is going away. With that, you are experiencing dryness in the mucosal membranes. You're losing hair. You have dry eye. You have vaginal dryness. You have pain with intercourse. You have bladder issues, as you mentioned in your friend, which is, you know, overactive bladder or detrusor instability, which basically the bladder is trying to contract with the sphincters not relaxing to allow the woman to urinate. Could be because of a bladder infection or the mucosa is dry. And so, you know, you need to pay attention and treat that. In fact, it's interesting that you mentioned this, because I was just reading an article that said they had looked at hyaluronic acid vaginal suppositories for women with vulvovaginal syndrome of menopause, which is basically dryness and pain. And the suppositories, the study was conducted in 2021 and 2022, and it showed that these hyaluronic acid suppositories were actually very helpful.
Wow.
So I would never have thought hyaluronic acid, go figure, but it makes perfect sense. And so I would, you know, even say something like our treatment in Vitalia with radiofrequency treatment in the vaginal wall, trying to cause contraction, less laxity. So contract the vaginal mucosa, cause a little bit of lubrication, can also be very helpful. So with that, if you want to see your OBGYN, they might have some other things up their sleeve. I know they like to use vaginal estrogen creams, and they are also very helpful. And then we've known from Dr. Rebecca Glazer's work that testosterone really helps as well. So there's a lot of different different things that we can do for regional symptoms.
Okay.
But the big picture is that overall person. And it's not just, you can't just say, oh, you know, she's 52, it's stress related. It's, mm-hmm. yes, there is stress. I'm not saying there isn't, and we need to address that. But there is also an underlying physiological change in a woman's body that didn't just start suddenly. That is a continuum. It started almost a decade ago, but at some point in time, the levels will be so low that her ability to function without the hormones might be compromised, more for some than for others. And if you are experiencing those symptoms, then you want to think about, how can I replace these hormones safely, effectively for myself, so that I can overcome these difficulties and lead a fuller, more active life?
Yes.
And so it's all about enjoying the healthy lifespan of aging. So you don't want to be labeled with chronic diseases that compromise your quality of life. How do you increase healthy lifestyle? And what do you do about that? That's what we're talking about. Addressing the functional declination of hormones, help improve those levels to see if you can improve function.
Ooh, I like that. We're going to go to a break here for just a moment. If you have a question about women's health, and I've got a couple more questions about bladder, and you mentioned UTIs, urinary tract infections. Seems like women have those a lot more as we're aging and even after menopause.
Sure.
Let's find out why in just a moment. If you have a question about women's health or anything else, give us a call. 800-465-8770 is that number to call. Right now, we're live in the studio with Dr. Umat. Dr. Mixon will join us just after 9 o'clock this morning. So we thought we'd focus on the women today, or at least this first part of the show. 800-465-8770. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Listening to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Along with Dr. Umat, Dr. Mixon will join us in just a few, but wanted to talk about women's health. Since we have Dr. Umat here, we're talking about things as we age and why they don't work like we wish they would. Or it's like, wait a second, this is not fair. All of
Hang
a sudden.
Hang on a minute. There's a lot of things that don't work.
I know,
like
you
know,
we're a little bit slow, which is why longevity is stepping in to help with this, to get us on track. You were talking about some things are caused, well, a lot of things are caused because our hormone levels are declining.
Right.
And then there are other things we're like, okay, so what's up with, you know, the bladder infections that seem to happen a lot as
sure.
we age.
Yeah.
I know my mom dealt with this for the last 20 years
right.
of her life. She tried all the things, but maybe there's something that you, and the, you know, constant having to, you know, go into the bathroom every 15 minutes or so. And
well, you know, we usually talk about this related to men with the enlarging prostate mm-hmm. and therefore they have urgency and frequency and incomplete emptying of the bladder. But in women too, as they do get older, they can have urinary retention and an overactive bladder syndrome, so that the detrusor is contracting constantly, and it could be because of irritation or an infection.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the sphincters are still closed, so that they are just contracting and giving you the urge to pee without being able to empty the bladder
actually
completely.
Do it.
And so that also for women can increase their risk for bladder infections. And one of the specialists that I like is our GYN specialists that home in on bladder issues.
Mm-hmm.
They really do sphincter studies and they do EMG studies that are quite actually unique in finding out what is the exact etiology for this urgency, frequency, incomplete emptying, feeling like you have an infection all the time. And so it's really wise if you're experiencing those kinds of symptoms to go in and be investigated to find out what is really the cause over here. But the important thing to rule out is a bladder infection. Mm-hmm. If you do have white cells in the urine, then I do like to use D-mannose without using antibiotics.
I've heard about that. D-mannose is what it's called. Yeah. What does it do for you as a woman?
It's a sugar. And all it does is lines to the lining of the bladder wall, and it prevents the bacteria from attaching to the bladder wall. It does not increase your sugar level. So D-mannose is just sugar.
It's a sugar that humans can't metabolize.
Oh, yeah. And Dr. Mixon is with us. We knew he was going to be just a little delayed.
A little late.
Yes, and you're fast.
No, D-mannose is a sugar that humans can't metabolize.
Oh, okay.
And so you swallow it. It gets into your bloodstream. Your kidneys clear it out and dump it into your urine.
Okay.
And in the urine, it basically gums up the little cilia that the bacteria use to attach to the bladder wall.
Okay.
And so they can't grab the bladder wall, and so when you pee, they just slide right on out.
So
it doesn't kill them. It just makes you pee them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat.
It is kind of neat. And then therefore, you know, you can resolve your symptoms, which is what we're after, without continuous use of antibiotics, because we
know...
I mean, for bladder infections, if you do have bladder infections and you need antibiotics, you really do need a longer course of antibiotic therapy. And we all know that that affects your gut microbiome. Therefore, it has long consequences on your whole system.
Now, as it turns out, the bacteria that women get in their bladder is usually related to their stool.
Mm, okay.
Because that... age and childbearing both do terrible things to the muscles.
Muscles, yeah.
And so those muscles are weak and loose, and so there's often a little tiny leakage of urine that makes kind of a damp pathway all the way down to the perineum where you can get stool from when you poop.
Okay.
So the bacteria found in the bladder in women is usually... a gram-negative, like an E. coli, that is found in their bowel. When we use an antibiotic to kill the bugs in the bladder, we're attacking the same bugs in the bowel. And that's why it upsets your bowel flora.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've got to use the same antibiotics that are going to kill the bladder infection are going to kill a lot of
the good stuff that
the
you
good
need.
Stuff
exactly.
You need.
Yeah. And we now know, you know, the gut microbiome is so important for cognitive functioning, for your overall immune system, and for so many other reasons. You do want to protect that. So people talk about using probiotics and so on and so forth. I think it's more to do with eating a good diet and including food that will help the bacterial growth, that healthy bacterial growth.
Well, I kind of have gotten amused. You know, we've always told people they need to eat more fiber. But now we call that fiber a prebiotic.
We've
given it a fancy name so we can charge more for it.
Prebiotic.
So now it's a prebiotic, which is just fiber.
Okay.
Metamucil.
So, you know, then when they ask me that, it's, well, prebiotics are basically the food for the probiotic.
That's right.
Yeah, it gets confusing with pre and pro. Yeah. All right, so what are some of the preventatives we can do for, as women, for bladder? And I guess this would work for men, too. The D-mannose you mentioned.
Yeah, hormonal replacement is very important.
Very important.
Making sure that you do maintain your baseline adequate hormone levels, because they're important for function. Then pelvic floor muscles, exercising the pelvic floor, making sure your pelvic floor muscles are really strong. Those are a few important things. And then if you are experiencing pain with intercourse, do see somebody about it.
Okay.
We, in our clinic, if it is just mild stress incontinence, we will use Vitalia to cause a tightening of the vaginal wall that will help with reducing the likelihood of stress incontinence, which, as you just heard, is one of the causes of ongoing bladder infections and irritability and later on more problems.
Okay.
So,
and I've heard cranberry juice, drink lots of cranberry juice and cranberry pills. And what is all that about? And does that really actually do anything for?
Well, yeah, cranberries actually have some a whole host of polyphenols and still beans in them that are good for us. They do acidify the urine a bit, which means some of the bladder in bugs won't grow as well.
Ah, okay.
But so cranberry. What's the other one that was touted for prostate cancer a while back?
I'll have to think about that.
Yeah,
okay.
It'll come to me.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, good information there. Thank you for that, Dr. Umat. Dr. Mixon back in the studio with us. 800-465-8770 is that number if you have a question for us. We're here live, and we'd love to talk with you. 800-465-8770. All right. Now, we were recorded last week, but had lots of good new information. And it's been 2 weeks since we've had kind of a medical update from you, Dr. Mixon. So what is new? What's happening? And why do we all know somebody who's, you know, getting the C word, COVID?
Yeah. Well, I got it.
Yes, doctor.
I finally tested positive, and my son said, oh, it only took 3 years.
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't pretty, I will admit. It wasn't pretty. I'm glad to be back on my feet again.
Good.
Yesterday was the first day I saw patients in person in the office. Till then, I was just doing phone reviews. And I am getting my sense of smell back, so very grateful. I was so scared I would lose that.
Oh, boy, yes.
I lost my sense of smell and taste, of course. Lost some weight, but not in a healthy way. So
yeah.
Now I've got to get back on
my
feet.
Well, you know, I mean, the only virtue I can see to losing your sense of smell is if you've got a flatulent cat at home.
Yeah.
Not much worse than cat farts. So you want to not be able to smell those.
All right. Well, dog people, pipe in and let
yes,
us know
please.
Which is worse.
Or your spouse. Oh, bye. Oh, my kitties are too fluffy and beautiful to do that. I can't even imagine.
What
can't
did you even... feed your cat, Dr. Mixon?
Yeah.
I don't feed the cat. That's a,
that's
I'm
a
making
problem.
A note that we're talking about this so that we that's, don't repeat
that's
this.
Ivory and Bandini's cat. That cat does not like me.
Seriously?
Oh.
Yes, no. Yeah, if I walk in the room, the cat runs.
Aww. In the opposite direction?
Yes.
You will not. Oh, dear.
That cat follows Bandine and Ivory around like a puppy dog.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
And wherever they go, the cat goes.
Yes.
But for some reason, it is terrified of me, and I've never been mean to that
Aww.
Cat. All I ever want to do is stroke it, but I Aww. Reach for it, and it runs.
Oh, okay. Girl kitties.
A
yeah.
Sense. I
don't yes.
know.
I can't go anywhere without my two following, you know, into the bathroom, watching me shower, uh-huh. and making dinner, you know, on the foot of my
cats
bed.
Cats do as that, too?
Yes.
I thought only dogs did that.
My cats are like dogs. Yes, they're dog cats. So.
Well, I don't know. I mean, one of my great joys in life is watching Bandish.
Never mind. Ah, never mind.
Thank you. Oh, boy. Believe it or not, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Back in the studio, having a little, way too much fun this morning. It is the last day of September. October is tomorrow. And we are going to take your questions, talk about what's going on in your world, in your life. Have you had COVID? I had like 3 friends that had it over the last week or so. They said it was very mild. They had the mild kind. They didn't have all the symptoms like you did, Dr. Umat. They just had the... I think I have a cold, but I better test for it type of things.
Well, Dr. Mixon, while you were gone, I said that I need a new accessory to my wardrobe because of the new office.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Shoes. Oh. I'm going to not be able to wear those heels I have.
Right, yeah, the 6-inch stiletto heels that Dr. Umat would usually opt to wear.
So shall we get some fluffy house slippers?
That's exactly what I wanted. But then the team looked at me when I suggested it yesterday. I said, can I maybe wear slippers here? And they looked at me like, I don't think so.
I think you'd look cute in them. That would be really fun. That would be good. We're going to get to your questions in just a moment. Heidi, we're going to talk with you in just a moment. Here is that number to get through to talk with Dr. Umat or Dr. Mixon on whatever is going on in your world. Maybe a recent diagnosis, women's health, men's health, something you don't quite understand about the medications, or maybe some side effects that you're taking. We'd love to talk with you on Leading Edge Medicine. Here is that number to get right into the studio. It's 800-465-8770. And you can call right now. Phone lines are open. 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
After driving out the memory of the way things might have been, song remembers well.
And well, Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine on your Saturday morning. Oh, what a beautiful Saturday. We're supposed to have sunshine today, tomorrow. Enjoy it because the rain is coming and it will be October.
Yeah, we experienced it.
Yes.
In fact, my husband thought maybe our gutters were all blocked. It was just pouring. It was just hammering. He goes, I wonder if our gutters are working.
Okay, what's going on? I actually like to crack the window to hear that rain.
One of my patients' husbands was visiting with her yesterday during a treatment, and he is a contractor, and he said they got a lot of calls with leaky roofs. He said it always happens. The first rain, and when it's like that, they get calls about leaky roofs everywhere.
Okay. maybe have your roof checked in spring?
And the gutters.
Summer? Yeah, and the gutters, yeah, before all that kicks in. Woo! Okay, doctors, let's go to Kirkland. So just like a block away, not too far away, we have Heidi on the line. Welcome, Heidi. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
Yeah, I was on a full hormone replacement program with LMC up until a year and a half ago. I'm 70. I got a breast cancer diagnosis, and it's all taken care of. However, I'm not back on the full program. And my concern now is bone loss. So my bones actually got stronger on the program. You know how they measure it.
With sure.
But I was shocked that my oncologist would recommend Fosamax. When I researched Fosamax 15 years ago, it was, you know, it was not found to be that great at preventing breaks. And so I was expecting her to recommend that shot. I think it's called Prolia. Anyways, I'm confused now. Maybe you guys can tell me what happened in those 15 years.
Well, there's new advances. The bisphosphonates, which is the Fosamax, was the first class that came out, and we all jumped on that bandwagon so quickly.
A lot of physicians are still using it simply because it's been around long enough, it's generic.
Exactly.
And it's cheaper.
Cheaper, yeah.
And the insurance companies push the doctors to use the cheapest version. You know, the injectables are still new enough that they're on patent, and so they cost lots and lots and lots more than the Fosamax.
Right, and they have to go through some hoopla's to get them approved anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're probably falling afoul of the Medicare syndrome, in that, you know, since you are in Medicare age, and Medicare is paying part of your bills, Medicare wants them to use the least expensive therapies available.
But if it's not effective, what's the point?
Well, it gives you harder bones, and they don't break quite as easily. But if they do break, they don't heal as well either, because Fosamax does not make normal bone.
Right. So like a simple trauma, like, you know, a slip and a little fall will not break it. But if you were in a major trauma and you did break the bone, then it'll be harder for them to fix it.
Yeah. Because the Fosamax gives you an abnormal, a very hard outer cortex. But the trabecular bone inside continues to fade away. So you end up with a very hard tube instead of something that has a lattice work of support inside to hold the bone together.
Right.
So is Prolia shown to be better and make more normal bone?
No, not really.
No.
you don't need to treat it as often. I'm trying to remember. I think it's like every 6 months or so you need the shot of the Prolia.
Yeah, every 6 months.
Yeah.
So you're saying there's no good solution?
Oh, no. Well, no, I'm not saying there's no good solution. I'm saying the solutions may not be amenable to your oncologist's belief systems, because the actual best way to give you normal bone would be to raise your testosterone and dehydroepiandrosterone.
Are you on estrogen blockers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then she should be on the testosterone, because she can't turn it into estradiol anyway.
Correct.
So you see, you're not a patient now. So I was gonna have your doctor send you a copy of the graphic we have for what testosterone does for women with breast cancer treatment. It really has some wonderful beneficial effects. It's not the standard of care because the research on it is so darn new, but it is I think it's going to become the standard of care one of these days.
You know, while you're waiting, you could ask if your oncologist will allow you to use low-dose transdermal testosterone alone.
Right, without the estrogen. The estrogen blocker will keep you from turning the testosterone into estrogen, because that's their fear, is if you're not on the blocker. But if you're on the blocker, then it'll stay as testosterone. But the testosterone stimulates your osteoblast to make new bone.
Yeah.
So you've got two kinds of cells involved with bone. You've got the osteoblast that makes new bone. You have the osteoclast that dissolves old bone. And there's always a constant state of turnover. Estrogen inhibits the osteoclast. So if you have estrogen, you dissolve bone slower, and then the testosterone helps you make bone faster. With your estrogen blockers, you can't slow the dissolving. Your bones are going to be dissolving faster because of the lack of estrogen. But you can balance that to some extent by using the testosterone to make new bone faster.
Mm-hmm. But then there could be other side effects to having the testosterone.
The testosterone? Yes,
a good
yes.
one would be that it's building muscle, which I need.
You, right? Well,
and
you build muscle.
That I turn into a hairy monster.
No. Not if we keep your levels in the female range. Okay, we don't want to kick you up to the male range. But see, most people, even most physicians, have lost track of the fact that testosterone is the primary human steroid in men and women. When you were 20 years old and you're at your hormonal peak, you had 2.5 times more testosterone than you had estrogen in your system. Okay. But for some reason, when women get older, we replace the estrogen, but we don't replace the actual primary hormone, which was the testosterone.
Hmm.
So, and I think that's a serious mistake, because what we find is if you give women that have had breast cancer, if you give them testosterone, their vagina moistens up again, their hot flashes go away, they sleep better, they have better stress tolerance, their brain actually works better, they feel more alert and optimistic about the future, and their bones don't thin out as fast.
Mm.
So, you know, as long as you're on an estrogen blocker to keep it from being converted, testosterone net is a real benefit in a woman in your situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can discuss that with my LMC doctor then.
Yep, you mm-hmm. certainly can. We'd be delighted to have you talk to her about it. Or him.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know if you've got a guy or a girl, but, you know, since we have both. But yes, they all have copies of this this graphic that I'm talking about. So, you know, ask the doc to send it to you, and they'll print off a copy and let you have it.
Mm. Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Heidi, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Good luck, Heidi.
Bye-bye.
Yes. We're waiting for that next call. We have a phone line that you can call right now and get through at 800-465-8770 with your questions for Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon. That's 800-465-8770. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics.
So, I wanted to add something here.
Yeah. Yes.
She said, you know, she had been a patient for a year and a half or something, or a year and a half ago,
she
was diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
But people confuse getting diagnosed with getting
it. Ah.
Okay. Breast cancer, like all solid tumors, starts as one cell. And that one cell undergoes a mutation. And then it has to double, and then double again, and double again, and double again. Because the doubling rate ranges anywhere from 30 to 100 days.
Mm.
Okay. By the time the tumor gets big enough to find, you have had cancer anywhere from 3 to 7 years.
Wow.
So when you get diagnosed with a cancer, you've had it at least 3 years, and maybe as long as 7. So we use 5 as the median figure. So if you get a new diagnosis of breast cancer, you've actually had that tumor an average of 5 years before the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. It was just too small for us to find.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that's the problem that people get into, because a woman will go on estrogen or go on progesterone or change some medication, and then within a year or so they get a diagnosis of breast cancer, and the immediate reaction is, oh, that caused the breast cancer.
Oh.
Reality is, that cancer had been growing 5, 6, 7 years before you ever started the new intervention. Okay. And so there's a really important distinction. And another thing that people forget is and many doctors fall into this trap too, we say early diagnosis gives you better results. But you see, if we can diagnose it 2 years earlier and you die at the same stage of the from the time the tumor started, in theory, and what we see is you live in 2 years longer after diagnosis. Mm. But it wasn't the early diagnosis that gave you the extra 2 years. Okay. The cancer was going to get you at this particular point anyway. You just happened to find it with a more sensitive diagnosis. We found it earlier.
Mm. Okay.
And so you lived with cancer another 2 years.
Mm.
Okay. Now, that's a different thing from, can we slow the growth of the tumor, and can we then give better lifespans or higher cure rates?
Right.
And that's,
right. I mean, the point about early diagnosis being simply that, you know, curing earlier, before it spread.
Precisely.
And it's still local.
Yes. And if we can get it before it spreads,
yeah,
then we're good. But our problem is that, once more, most women have had the tumor 5 years before we found it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it may have already spread. But again, the spread is often one cell.
Yeah.
And it may be 3 to 5 years after it spreads before we find the spread tumor.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So there's that 3 to 5 year lag there between something actually starting and us being able to diagnose it. Mm-hmm. With our, you know, that's why medicine is so challenging at times. Our diagnostic skills are just not as good as we need them to be. We're getting better now with some of the serum tests, because what we're able to start doing now is doing things like the Galleri test and so on, looking for blood markers, serum markers, that say that there is a tumor somewhere in your body, and we can find these cells in the bloodstream that tell us that it's probably there, but we don't know where it is yet.
Right.
Because it's still too small.
Okay. But it gives you a heads up and gives your doctor a heads
and
up.
And gives you a heads up to start looking to see where is it going to be.
Yeah. Okay. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. We have time for your call, and the phone lines are open at 800-465-8770. If you have a question for the doctors, now is the time to call. 800-465-8770. We'll be right back after this break.
Against the wind. Against the wind, we were young and strong, we were running against the wind.
Leading Edge Medicine, we talk all things medical. Hopefully have some answers for you, too, or point you in the right direction, can give you a better understanding of the information that you did get from your doctor, maybe information you didn't get, and you're going, what? Now what do I do with this diagnosis? Give us a call. We'd love to talk you through that, help you out, give you some answers if we can. 800-465-8770 is the number to talk to Dr. Umat or Dr. Mixon. We have Barbara calling in from Gig Harbor. Welcome to the show, Barbara. How can we help?
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Yes.
Good morning, Barbara.
Hi. Good morning. Just a brief history, probably clear back into about 2008. I had a lot of pain in my neck and had an MRI, and I have degenerative disc disease. And my most recent MRI was November 21, and I've got moderate to severe stenosis and C3, C4, and C6, C7. So all of those C4 through C7 have been affected. But what just happened to me on the 17th, well, in the evening, I lifted 16 pounds out of the trunk of my car, and I got a pierced nerve in my neck. I didn't notice anything all night until I woke up in the morning and got vertical. Then there was extreme pain down my arm, specifically from my elbow to my hand, and my hand was numb. So I went to an urgent care, and they said, yes, pinched nerve. He put me on a muscle relaxer and methylprednisolone.
Prednisolone,
and,
yes.
And so I meanwhile got a doctor appointment with my primary care doctor, and I saw him on Wednesday. And I told him I didn't think the muscle relaxer was helping, so he put me on gabapentin. So still in a lot of pain, specifically from my elbow to my hand. My hand is numb and always cold. I've been doing massage therapy twice a week, and I started acupuncture last week. And Friday, they even did some cupping on my back, but not getting a whole lot of relief anywhere. The most relief I get in my arm is just my hang my head down to the floor. And then a secondary issue I'm dealing with that's raised my blood pressure at urgent care was 200 over 95.
Sure.
My goodness.
And I can't seem to get it much.
Pain will cause the blood pressure to go up.
Yeah. Yes. And I can't seem to get that much below 150 over 100. I'm on 20 milligrams of lisinopril, 100 milligrams of metoprolol, 2.5 milligrams of hydrochlorazide.
Wow.
0.1 milligram three times a day of clonidine.
Holy mackerel.
So I
gave her everything.
How
long ago did you hurt the neck? How long have you been struggling with the symptoms?
Well, it was, I lifted all that weight Saturday night, 16th, but Sunday morning, the 17th at 7:30 was
when
I woke up.
Okay. And which arm is numb, the left or the right?
My right.
Right.
And earlier, my history, the pain in my neck down to my shoulder, I've had years off and on of physical therapy for the pain in my neck and shoulder for this. And it's always been relieved. But this is the first time I've gotten a pinched nerve.
Okay. Have you seen anybody since the urgent care center?
Yeah, her primary doctor.
Yeah. I saw primary care, and not my regular one, but another one in the same office, and he put me on gabapentin. Yeah. I see my regular primary care this Tuesday, October 3rd.
All right. I wish we had a magical pass to get you into a neurologist right away.
Yes.
Because
that's who you really need. You know, you're going to need some really good imaging and evaluation studies. There, you'd probably need nerve conduction studies done. MRIs of that neck need to be looked at very carefully.
Yeah, you know, I do have electromyography scheduled for the 16th.
Oh, good.
Good. Okay, good. So we're at least heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's in the cervical spine. If this was down in the lumbosacral region, we'd have a whole lot more interventions that could be safely done.
Right.
You know, interventions in the cervical spine are much touchier than they are further down. Dr. Nelson, if you're listening, you might want to call in and give us some expert perspective on this, because this is clearly outside of Samara and my areas of expertise. You know, we handle the normal but undesired changes of aging.
Yeah.
Neurology is just a titch on the other side of that.
Right.
Well, this is degenerative. So
it is, but with an acute exacerbation.
That's right.
I sympathize with you. Pain in those situations can be quite debilitating.
Yes, it can.
And I think the initial thing is to control the pain for you and to do it in the best way possible. And gabapentin is not a bad choice.
It's not a bad choice, but it doesn't really fix the problem.
It does not.
Oh. Yeah. It alters your perception of the nerve irritation. Mm-hmm. It at best makes it more of a tingly than a pain.
Yeah.
But doesn't really fix the underlying issue, which is something is irritating the heck out of those nerves.
Yeah, they gave her, steroids to decrease the inflammation. They've given her muscle relaxants, and it hasn't helped. I might add maybe something local, like a anti-inflammatory cream, like a Voltaren or something, or a Ketocam to see if you can kind of numb the pain a little bit and give you some respite.
Perhaps, yeah. But the reason I'd love to have Dr. Nelson weigh in on this is to find out, is there something that can be done with minimal invasion and minimal risk, to take the pressure off those nerves. But step one, he's going to need the nerve conduction studies and the MR and the most recent MRIs too.
For sure.
So. Yeah. Well, I do use Voltaren, and I also have some essential oils from my massage therapist that are supposed to help with that, but it's not helping. Mm-hmm. And then I had some other people tell me a chiropractor can manipulate those vertebrae in your neck and spread them.
I would not let anybody manipulate the vertebra in my neck with this problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Because something is impinging on those nerves already. Yeah. And all it would take is somebody increasing that just a little bit, and you'd be in real deep trouble.
Yeah.
So, and so the question in my mind is, is there something minimally invasive that can be done to at least take some of the pressure off the associated nerve?
Yeah.
But until you get your studies done, we're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And how do you feel about radio frequency denervation?
Well, again, there was a time I was very much worried about it, but Dr. Nelson has now educated me a bit that there are some little tiny, almost filament nerves that are responsible for a lot of pain that can be ablated without causing any sort of motor or real sensory problems. So, so if the neurologic situation is just right, and if the impingement is just right, they may be able to go in and ablate some of that that is giving you pain without interfering with function. But once more, that's for the pain specialist and the neurologist to decide whether you're a candidate for that sort of thing.
Okay, so the electromyography is a good...
It's a good start. It's a good start, and getting an MRI, a cervical spine MRI, because the MRIs give us so much more information than standard X-rays or even CAT scans. They let us see tissue swelling, edema. They let us see things we can't see any other way.
All right. Great. Yeah, and one problem that the main nerve in my arm that's affected is the ulnar nerve.
Yeah, that would go down the lateral side, getting your little finger and those fingers to the
on the medial,
correct,
from the elbow
that's
down to the little finger. Yeah,
that's where it's gone. Starts my little finger, and then it's my entire hand. It just goes numb, and then gets very cold all the time.
Yeah, and see, if it's the entire hand, including the thumb, that means something's knocking out the median nerve too. Because the median nerve is a separate nerve, goes down the center of the flexor surface, going here, goes into the palm, in the middle of your palm. And so if something is hitting both of that, it tells me it's high. It's not in the arm. It's probably not in the shoulder. It is probably in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And
the brachial plexus.
Yeah. So got to take a real good look at that. And like I said, MRI and EMG are the ways to go.
Yep.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Now, I tried to do some exercises, but my massage therapist has limited me to what I found online. Said, don't do that. I got a lot of pain in my shoulder and knots. She really worked out a terrible knot in my muscle below my shoulder blade because everything's so tight.
Yeah. Well, this physical medicine was actually Dr. This physical medicine was actually Dr. UMAT's first board specialization.
That's right.
So, so really? Between the two of us, between the two of us, she is the expert in this, not me.
Well, and you know what I tell everybody in the acute stages? It's the muscle is in spasm. Don't do anything that'll make it worse. So if it's hurting, it's telling you something, and you're just 2 weeks out, so you're still pretty early right now. Right now, yeah. You know, the prednisolone that they gave you and the muscle relaxants and what you're doing is where I would hold. And then you mentioned something about if you were to bend your neck down, you get some relief.
Oh, yeah. If I bend over and put my head down to the floor, I get some relief in my arm.
And you know what that's telling you is that, yeah, it's stretching. So when you're stretching the area, you're basically relieving the muscle, the nerve. And so that's giving you a little bit of a relief. So I would do that more of that.
All right. The same with high blood pressure. Do you want to stand on your head? Might you get a stroke?
Oh, boy.
No.
Don't
no.
Do that. We don't want that, Barbara.
I know. Yeah, I got quite a dilemma going on here.
You do. You know, my biggest regret about modern medicine is that the delays are so long between you getting sick and you being able to get into the specialist that can help you.
Yeah.
And they got worse with COVID.
And why? Why did it get worse with COVID? Do we suddenly have so many more sick people, or do we have so many fewer doctors? I mean,
well, we started giving fewer appointments.
The
right?
But why? The doctors didn't fall off the face of the earth. They're still here.
They wanted more time to clean up and you know, clean up the rooms, and so they were not able to see as many patients as they used to. And then all resources were all directed towards COVID patients in the hospitals. Everything was directed towards COVID.
Oh, yuck.
All right.
It's not a good situation.
No.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate
you. Thank you, my dear.
Good luck, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for that call, Barbara. We have room for you. Hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine continues in just a moment. Here is that number to get through right away. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll be right back with Dr. Mixon and Dr. UMAT.